Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to believe something exists, but not to actually trust it? You ever notice how easy that is? Think about it for a moment. You believe the weather forecast. If they say it's going to, wait a minute, if you live in Melbourne, forget that. That's a bad illustration. You believe the GPS knows where it's going when you type it in and you're on your way. But then when it tells you to take a turn that you think looks a little bit dodgy, what do? You slow down, you double check, maybe you completely ignore it, right? And I believe airplanes can fly, right? But when turbulence hits, I get really, really spiritual, right? And start praying and praying and praying because you never know what's going to happen. You know, there's a big difference between believing something exists and trusting it, especially with your life. You know, you all came in this morning and you believed those chairs existed, but you actually trusted when you sat on them, right? You can believe that a bridge exists and that it will hold your car, and you trust it when you drive across it. You see, belief acknowledges something as true. Trust puts your weight on it. Trust actually puts your weight on it. You actually take a risk when you actually believe that. Now, some of us are more trusting than others. On a scale of 1 to 10, tell the person beside you how trusting you are. A 10 is I'm gullible and I'm crazy trusting. A 1 is I don't believe anything anyone says and I've got to ask my wife to make sure, right? So tell the person beside you real quick. Type it in the chat if you're online. Yeah, so we're all at different levels of trust and, dare I say, faith. Spiritually, a lot of people believe God exists, but trusting Him is maybe another story. Can I really trust Him for forgiveness? Can I really trust Him for salvation? And can I really trust Him right now for my future and my life today? You know, that is a little bit harder. That's where people start to struggle a little bit because the common view of faith goes something like this. If I try harder, if I become a better person, if I clean up my act, then maybe God will accept me. You know, maybe when it's trusting God for the day-to-day life, we might think that I believe things are going to work out until they don't. Or I believe God is good until the turbulence come. And then I'm not so sure. Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be in a series called Easter Changes Everything. And if you miss any of the sermons or you think they were okay and somebody else needs to hear it, then you can go to our app, go online, and share that with other people. Yep, there you go. Thanks. What we need to understand at the outset is Easter is not about coming to church that one time a year. Although all those people that will come one time a year, take those cards and invite them and tell them to come sit with you. Easter is not about a long holiday weekend. Easter is certainly not about bunnies or chocolate, although we're getting close, all right, when we talk about chocolate. White chocolate, please. Yep. Easter changes everything because the resurrection of Jesus changes how we view God, it changes how we view ourselves, it changes how we view life, and especially it changes how we view the future. Easter really does change everything. And today we're starting with a question to kick off the series. And here's the question: what does real faith actually look like? And our text is a New Testament book called Romans. And Romans tells us something that is radically different than our normal way of thinking. It tells us this. It says, God doesn't accept us because of what we achieve. Any high achievers in the crowd? Yeah, there's one. All right, okay. I'll talk to you later. God doesn't accept us because of that, though. It's okay to be a high achiever. But God accepts us because of who we trust. It's a big difference in those two things. And to prove that, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans in the New Testament, takes us all the way back to an Old Testament account, an Old Testament story, an Old Testament hero, if you will, who makes this very clear for us. Now, if you were a first century Jewish reader, Abraham would have meant everything. He was the founding father. He was a spiritual hero. He was an example everyone pointed to. So Paul then asks a huge question in Romans chapter 4. It says, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? In other words, what did Abraham learn through his life journey about how someone becomes right with God, or how we have a relationship with God? And the answer would have shocked the readers. If his good deeds made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. Uh-oh. Abraham was not made right with God by what he achieved, by the good works that he did. Here's the bottom line for this whole chapter and Paul's whole premise right here. It's Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. You see, Abraham was accepted because of what he believed. And that's the fulcrum for this whole teaching today. And in chapter 4, what Paul was saying, it's the heartbeat of the chapter. He said he counted him. He credited it to him. This is a banking term. He put it on Abraham's account as righteous because he believed. To understand what this kind of faith looks like, we have to actually go back and look at this story in Genesis that Paul is referencing here, or it's not going to make as much sense. Because when you follow Abraham's story in Genesis, what you're going to discover is something really powerful. Faith isn't built in one big moment, but over a lifetime of trusting God. Genesis chapter 12, we see God calling Abraham to leave everything. It says this, God speaking to Abraham says, go from your country, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you. 30-second public service announcement for parents with 30-year-olds still at home. Print this verse and put it on their bedroom door, right? Don't think it's going to work for you, but anyway. Back to the story. God tells Abraham where to go. Or what to do. He tells him to go, but he doesn't tell him where. He doesn't say where you're going to land. Faith trusts God with the unknown. The details are up to God, and he may not give them to us all up front. See, Abraham left security. He left familiarity. He stepped into uncertainty, and that kind of faith, trust, or that kind of trust actually honors God, because faith isn't about having all the information. It's about trusting the one who does. And God knows way more than I do. He knows way more than you do. And when we have faith and trust him with what we don't know, but he does, that honors him. Then we move on in the story of Abraham to Genesis chapter 15. And God makes an astonishing promise. He says, Abraham, count the stars. That's how many descendants you will have. There's a problem with this. Abraham doesn't have any kids at this point. And he's 75 years old. Any 75-year-olds ready to start a family? Woo! I'm not even close to that yet. And no, it's not time to start now. But God told Abraham, you're going to have more descendants than the stars in the sky. That's a crazy promise. He's 75 years old now. And Sarah has been barren her whole life. Humanly speaking, this promise is impossible. But look at what Abraham did. It says, Abraham believed the Lord. And the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Does that sound familiar? That's what Paul was quoting in Romans chapter 4. When God promised the impossible, Abraham believed it, and God said, that makes you righteous because you believed. See, faith believes God for the unbelievable. This was absolutely unbelievable, an impossible thing, and Abraham believed. God said, that makes you righteous. Paul explains it like this in chapter 4. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. How good is that? That is true faith. See, faith believes even when the promise feels unbelievable and you cannot see how that could ever play out. Paul says that's actually how our salvation works. That's how we end up with a relationship with God. He says this, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. See, if this was all about effort, you would have to earn it. And the high achiever in the crowd would come the closest, but he's still going to fall short. You'd always be wondering, have I done enough? If it was about our effort. It's not about effort. It's not about earning. It's about receiving. It's about faith that simply trusts God, that he has already done what you could never do, what I could never do. Then we go to Genesis chapter 22, and God asked Abraham to do something that is unimaginable. It says, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Faith obeys God in the unthinkable. This is the promised son. This is the one that is going to make him have more descendants than the stars in the sky. The future of an entire nation. This makes no sense. Abraham obeyed. Why? Well, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament tells us Abraham actually believed that if Isaac died, God had the power to raise him from the dead. So he's got a little bit of logic going on, trying to figure it out. But the bottom line was he obeyed. He believed God would make this work out somehow. Paul makes this point to his Jewish readers. He says, now, is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for uncircumcised Gentiles? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Now, we're going to talk about circumcision in a quick survey. Raise your hand, all of the... Wait, let's don't do that. Yep. We need to understand something here. Paul's argument in Romans chapter 4 here only makes sense if we understand the timeline that we just talked about in Abraham, all those events in Abraham's life that grew his faith. If we look at that as a timeline, you're going to see some things here. First of all, in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. He says, leave your country, leave your father's house, and go to a land I'm going to show you. Abraham stepped into the unknown. Then Genesis 15, God makes a promise, I'm going to give you descendants. And it says this, and in that moment, it says, Abraham believed the Lord and God counted him as righteous. So he's declared righteous right there when he believed in the unbelievable. Then in Genesis 17, that's when Abraham was circumcised as a sign. That happened 13 years later. After God said, Abraham believed, and I counted that as righteousness to him, his faith. The circumcision was a sign. And then, as we just mentioned in Genesis 22, the test, sacrificing Isaac, was a test of his faith. By the way, spoiler alert, if you haven't read that account, God stops him, and he actually didn't sacrifice Isaac. That's how God rescued there. But you can see the timeline of Abraham's faith growing and growing and growing. But circumcision was only a sign that he was a believer in God, that he believed in the covenant God had made. That was circumcision. It was an outward symbol of an inward belief. In fact, it says that in Romans 4:11. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith. Abraham was not saved. He did not have a right relationship with God because he was circumcised. He was circumcised because he had a right relationship with God. The sign came later. We have a similar sign today under the new covenant. Baptism doesn't save anyone. Baptism follows belief. We believe first, then we're baptized. Baptism will be the new covenant sign that we are a true believer. Just like circumcision didn't make Abraham right with God, baptism doesn't make someone right with God. It simply shows the faith that they already have. Baptism doesn't make anyone a Christian. It doesn't wash away anyone's sin, the water in the tank there. Baptism is a sign that someone already believes. Just like circumcision pointed out Abraham's faith, baptism points out a person who's getting baptized. It points out their faith. It declares to everyone else, I am a believer, and I'm getting baptized because I'm a believer. I'm not getting baptized to make me a believer. So today, we're going to get to see a baptism. And when this person gets baptized, when they step into that water, understand, they're not saying, look at me, look what I did. They're saying, look what Jesus did. Look how Jesus has rescued me. And they're showing everyone that through baptism. We're about to see Romans chapter 4 in action. We're going to see someone trusting Jesus, someone who's believing God's promise and taking this step into the story of faith, or showing their story as they go under the water. Turn your eyes to the screen and listen to the story.
Hi, my name is Alexandra. I've been coming to the church now since December. I'm 23 years old, and this is my story. I have been through a lot. I've dealt with childhood trauma, drug and alcohol abuse, suicide attempts, and just a lot. I've grown up in a semi-Christian family. My mum would sneak me off to church every Sunday, and my grandfather was doing preaching at one of the nursing homes, and I would come with him every now and again just to listen. So my knowledge of him was very, oh well, you know, if I pray for something then it's going to happen type of thing. But during this time, facing like all of this at once and childhood trauma as well, it changed. My idea of God changed during that time. I remember a lot of nights when I was in a lot of pain, I would always yell out, God help me, I want to come home, I don't want to be here anymore, this is really hard. One night before I completely stopped drinking and self-harming, and I remember Jesus coming to me in my dream, and he asked me why I was doing what I was doing to myself, and I couldn't answer him. I was really scared. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And he lifted up his hands and he said to me, the reason why you are doing this is because you're not whole. I have holes in my hands and my feet, and I can make you whole. You just have to let me in like you did when you were younger. So when I woke up The following morning, I went into the kitchen, got rid of every bit of alcohol that I could find and other things I was using at the time that I could find, and I just either poured it down the drain or put it in the bin. And for the first time in a while, I've actually listened to what Jesus has said. Let me in so I can make you feel whole. And that is my mission now. I have pretty much traded old addictions for a new addiction, and that is just walking with God, walking with Jesus, making that my main mission in life. I believe in the promises that Jesus has. The light he has poured inside of me didn't die then. It's not going to die now. I'm getting baptized today because I know that with everything that I have faced, everything that I've gone through, there has only really been one being that has been there through every single bit of it. And you've got to start walking. If you can't just tell people that you believe in me and that you've got faith in me, you've actually got to start showing that to people. So I think this is the push that I need, and the first step into actually doing that for once. Thus says the Lord who created you, who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I love that verse. I really love that verse. And it's true. You might not feel that right now, but he has called you and you are his. No matter what you go through in life, he will always be there.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Charlie, and please join with me as we welcome Lexi. Thank you. Lexi's very nervous, as is often the case, but I'm going to ask Lexi three questions. Lexi, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Saviour?
Yes.
And Lexi, we're standing in some very nice water. It's a very good temperature today, but it's just water. Hey, there's nothing spiritual about to happen here. You're just taking a step of obedience in following Jesus.
Yes, I am.
So, Lexi, as far as it depends on you, do you determine to follow Jesus the rest of your days?
Yes, I will.
So, on the declaration of your faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for Lexi. I thank you that you called her, and I thank you more than anything that she responded to that call. And Lord, I thank you for this step of obedience that she's taken. May you continue to walk with her. May she know your presence and power. May she be surrounded by Christian brothers and sisters who love and care for her and build her up in the faith. May this be the first day of an awesome walk with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isn't that great? Yeah. We should do that every week, right? Yeah, multiple times every week. That'd be great. What you just watched was Romans chapter 4, what it's describing. And it's so beautiful because it tells a story. You heard the personal story, but it tells a story of life transformed. That's what it's all about. It raises a very important question for us today. And here's that question. What are you trusting? What are you trusting? Are you trusting your own efforts, your goodness, religion, your family heritage maybe? Because my grandma was a Christian and my mom was a Christian, so certainly I'm a Christian. Romans chapter 4 tells us that none of that can make us right with God. It's only faith. And when we talk about Abraham's faith, it's not just somebody else over there, somebody in history. Romans 4:24 tells us this, that it was written for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. Isn't that beautiful? He tells us all about Abraham, and he says, hey, I'm telling you all this for your benefit, because the same God that Abraham put his faith and trust in, you can as well. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says this about Jesus. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. That, friends, is where we put our trust, and that is Easter. And that is why Easter changes everything. See, Jesus died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And when we trust him, God credits that righteousness to our account. In the middle of all this, Paul inserts a bit of narrative from a guy called David. It was from the Psalms. David was a king, and he was a poet, a songwriter. And he said this, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. He sums up this kind of faith in one word, joy. Not guilt, not trying harder, not wondering if you've done enough, but joy. When we stop trying to earn God's grace and start trusting his promise, everything changes. Everything changes. See, that's the faith of Abraham. Abraham trusted God with the unknown and believed God for the unbelievable and surrendered even in the unthinkable. And that's what God asks each and every one of us to do as well. Just because we don't have it all figured out, and we don't understand how God would send his son who is God, and he was born of a virgin, and he lived a perfect life, and he died and was put in a tomb, and he rose again. You know, we don't have to understand all of that. We just have to believe that. We just have to trust God that is true and then give him our lives. See, there's a difference between us and Abraham. Abraham believed before the miracle. We get to believe after the miracle has happened, after Jesus has rose from the dead when he died for our sins. And because the tomb is empty and because God keeps his promises, that is why Easter changes everything. So where in your life today do you need to stop striving and start trusting? We're about to pray, but before we pray, I want you to take a deep breath, and I want to invite you all to stand as we close. Just take a deep breath, and just in this moment, just let it be you and God, individually, you and God. And I want to ask you, what would it look like for you to trust God with that one thing that you've been holding on to? What is it? What is that one thing that's heavy on your heart, always plaguing your thoughts, and you just haven't been able to let it go? What is that one thing? I'm going to ask you right before I pray, if you have that thing in your mind, I'd like to invite you to release it and to give that to God, to trust God with it. And symbolically, I'd love to invite you to do something very simple while you're standing there. Open your hands. If we're releasing something, we do that open-handed, not closed-handed. And just hold your hands out. And that thing that you've been holding on to, let that represent, I'm giving this to you, God, in this moment. Just release it to God. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made in sending Jesus to the cross to die for our sins. And thank you most of all that he rose from the dead to conquer death, to conquer hell, to conquer our inability to keep the law and to get right with you on our own effort. Thank you so much that you gave us a way where there was absolutely no way. You did for us what we could never do. Thank you so much, God, for that. Now, Lord, I want to pray for everyone here today who is standing with open hands. And Lord, they're identifying that thing that they haven't been able to let go of and trust you. Lord, I pray as they are symbolically trying to release that to you, you would take it from them. Lord, you would receive that as they receive your grace, as they believe your promises. Lord, I pray that you would help them walk away free of that thing. Lord, it doesn't mean all the circumstances are going to change, but Lord, that they would release that to you and cast all their care upon you because you care for them. We thank you for that. And Father, we just pray that you would glorify yourself in our lives as we walk by faith in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.